One, and so here we are worldwide live again through BBS Radio. This is Gijs Minderhout from Megalia, California. This is the Monday evening conference call, simulcast, BBS show. And we will expect Winfrey to be here shortly. We're still a couple of minutes away from the hour, 2 minutes. We have an interesting... Right, more people joining in on the conference call. Welcome to the call. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Hello, this is Terry in Dallas.
I heard Terry from Dallas. Hi, Terry. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Who
You're
else?
Central Florida. This is Roger in Austin.
Hello, Roger. And who is this from Florida?
Gilbert, Central Florida.
Hi, Gilbert. Welcome back.
Thank you.
This is Steve in West Palm Beach.
Good evening to you, Steve. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Carla in Okotoks.
Good evening to you, Carla. Welcome. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, guys. Hi, everybody.
All right.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Awesome. And in the meantime, I see it at 6 o'clock. I've been his... Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Cynthia, Tucson, Arizona.
Hi, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm good.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Yep. It's been a while, but I'm back.
Great to have you. Awesome. Wynn is on his way.
Is Donna there?
I have not seen Donna yet, no.
Oh. You're the first one on.
So, but we have an interesting topic tonight. Vin is going to share his experiences with his research into the New Age years ago, what he discovered things. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry. Welcome to the call. How are you doing, sister?
Hi,
Terry.
Good.
All right.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Tom.
You sound a little bit in the background, Terry.
Oh, well, let me see. I don't know. Just my mic a little.
Maybe so. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Marshall from Chicago.
Chicago, repeat. Welcome to the call, Marshall.
Good evening. How are you doing out of town?
Sorry to hear about the Cubs. All right. More people showed up. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Morgan in California.
Good evening to you, Morgan. Welcome.
Good evening to everyone.
Good evening, Morgan.
Oh,
good evening.
Well. Somebody else joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
This is Robert from North Carolina.
Hello, Robert. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening, everyone. This is Eric in Santa Fe.
Hello, Eric. How are you doing?
Good. Hi. Thank you.
All right. Santa Fe, what a name.
Hello?
City of Holy Faith.
All right.
Hello. Can you hear me?
No, Wynn, we cannot hear you.
Okay.
We sense you.
So how is my microphone today?
Somewhere between so-so and doable.
A little bit raspy.
Sorry, this is the one you said you liked.
Oh. Only the looks of it.
Oh, no. Oh, my.
All right. Well, this is going to be one of those calls that I don't really want to do. But I'm going to do it anyway. It's not the same reason as yesterday that I didn't want to do it. yesterday I just wanted to sleep in, and I didn't. Today.
It's Janine from Salt Lake.
Who is that?
Janine from Salt Lake.
Hi, Janine. Is this your first time in to a call?
Third. For this
your
one.
Third. All right.
Yeah.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
I hope some of you come back after this call. Okay?
You will? I will.
Well.
Vin, shall I mute? Yeah. See how you sounded then.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Speak up, Ben, please.
Hello, testing 1-2-1-2-1-2.
It is kind of poor.
Testing 1-2-1-2-1-2. Is that better?
It's okay. Doable.
I'll switch my headset, okay? Hang on.
Let's do that.
Now, I was using the other one, and then I did it with Terry today. She says, no, I like this one. So now I'm using this one, but I'll go do the other one. Okay,
I think it depends on the weather.
A full moon's coming up over the hills here.
Yeah. So I welcome all those folks that are joining in over here with us through BBS Radio. Thank you very much for being here. As you might know, we also do calls on Wednesdays, same time as Monday, and on the Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Pacific. That's a two-hour call, most popular call, very energetic. Welcome to those folks that just joined in on the phone line. We are getting the microphone lined up. Well, at least Wynn is. And Wynn dropped out. That's not good.
All right. Dropped out?
Yes. He probably pressed the wrong button.
Sounds like me.
Yeah. So, Terry, here we are, you and I, and the many folks are listening. Is there anything that you want to share with us?
Well, I noted that there's been a number of earthquakes lately, one in Vanadu, over 7, and the one in Pakistan, over 7, which wasn't a surprise based upon the fact that there is motion going on, and there is a fellow named Michael. I think it's Janish, something like that. And he's able now to predict where earthquakes are liable to be. Are you calling back in? Okay, Moon's calling back in.
All right. Your line is also getting crackly, Terry.
Yeah, because I went too far from my phone.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I'm coming back, so it should be good
right now. Welcome back.
Okay, I'm back. Are you
sound
better now?
You sound almost too loud.
You sound good.
Awesome.
You gave me the wrong evaluation earlier.
Well, I don't know. It was just what it was.
Well, you know what? It's okay.
Yeah.
It's reality is tough. Who knows? All right. Let me start the recording here.
This conference is being recorded.
This is October 26, 2015. Wynn and Terry in Arizona. Hi, Zimigelia. And everyone else everywhere. And I was saying earlier. I don't like to do a call like this, but I think it's rather important. And let me just unmute everybody.
All callers are unmuted.
How many of you on the line come from New Age background?
I do.
Conti,
are you?
I do. I didn't hear the question.
Well, too bad.
What's the question?
The question is, how many of you come from a New Age background?
Not at all.
How many of you were part of the Ku Klux Klan?
What?
How many of you come from a Christian background?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And how many of you used to be pagans?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Guilty.
Right, hippies. Does that count as pagans?
Past life. Yes.
Hippies? Yeah. Hippies?
I am.
Yes.
Close.
Kind of.
Still am.
Right now. Yeah, right now.
Okay.
Christian.
Christian. Okay. Now, let me mute everybody again. And
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
I actually did some research for this particular call because, you know, I don't want to make claims without giving some backup. And, you know, if you got the email, it was called The Dark Side of the Light Side. And it has to do with, what does it have to do with? Well, let me just not even say that. Let me just get into it and it'll reveal itself. I used to identify very much with New Age and the idea of the Age of Aquarius and a new world coming in that was love. And this is the dawning of the Age of Aquarius. And I said, that's my vision. I liked that vision. And, you know, in a lot of my metaphysical studies, a lot of it was relating to that, going even back to Theosophy and Rosicrucians and all kinds of gurus in the 60s, checking everything out. And when I would say Edgar Cayce was very much a darling of the New Age, at least in the 70s, everybody was reading Edgar Cayce, and so was I. And I was coming to the conclusion that this guy might be woo-woo, but there's too much documentation that proves that whatever he's onto is something real. But it was never indicated in the Edgar Cayce readings what he was onto. He never said who was talking through him, other than saying it was part of his high self. And yet, when I started restudying Edgar Cayce, when I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I went back, I saw some things that I didn't notice previously. Like one of them was, this was really quite striking, that for the first 20 years, you know, Edgar Cayce did readings for 40 years. And for the first 20 years, he only did health readings. He never talked about reincarnation. He never talked about future prophecies. And he was very concerned, personally, about his readings, because he had been a fundamentalist Christian, and he was concerned that what if this was demonic? And so he said, if anything I ever do hurts anybody, I'm going to stop doing it. And so for 20 years, he only helped people. He did health readings. He came up with past life. No, he didn't do past life readings. He came up with alternative remedies that could heal people, and things that no one had ever recommended before. And then after the first 20 years, it took 20 years, suddenly he came up with a reincarnation reading.
And then everyone was asking them about reincarnation, who was I? And he would just, you know, spit those out. And then he came up with future predictions and different ways the universe works. And he got much more sophisticated. But for the first 20 years, only health readings. And it was obvious to me that it wasn't, you couldn't say that he had a talent. Something was working through him. And something made the decision to establish credibility over a long period of time by doing health readings and then starting to bring in things that would be more controversial to his fundamentalist Christian point of view, and i.e. reincarnation and a lot of other stuff, Atlantis, et cetera, et cetera. And so I said, there's something to this guy, and I became kind of semi-expert on many of his books. And then went through still identifying with New Age. And, of course, New Age identified very much with Edgar Cayce at that time. Well, when I started coming out with The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and the book came out, I noticed something. I thought, man, this is something that New Age people will really embrace. Because the book really was well done. And if you haven't read it, I really recommend that you do, because it adds a lot of dimensions to what we talk about all the time on our calls. And so in the book was the first time I got introduced to this rock group that was made up of graduates of this realm. That's, you know, the implication was very strong that they were talking through Edgar Cayce and they were talking through David Wilcock. And it kind of made sense because the members of the rock group had, you know, maybe 1,000 lifetimes in this realm, maybe more, maybe less, but, you know, somewhere 1,000 was indicated. And that would mean to me that if they had memory of all the things that happened in all those lifetimes, and probably some of them were not on this planet, I'm sure many of them were not, because 1,000 lifetimes would go back prior to the history, recorded history of Earth, and they said they had incarnations on Venus. And they said they had a graduation on Venus, similar to what was coming up on Earth. And they said that this is through the Carla Ruckert material now, 20% of them graduated. Okay, now how does this all connect with New Age? What do we have in New Age? We have this idea that we're coming to a new world. The world is going to change, and the world is going to uplift, and everyone will be enlightened. Where did that come from? Well, interestingly enough, it started out, the whole projection of that came from a woman in Madame Blavatsky, who was part of, let me see here. Well, let me just tell you a little bit about Madame Blavatsky and Alice Bailey, okay, were the two people that were connected with Theosophy and Rosicrucians. And I was looking up some stuff on Madame Blavatsky. Okay. You know, I'm bringing this up because a couple of people in our group recently were talking to me about the whole idea of love and light, and they were coming from a New Age point of view, and this came up yesterday in our call where we were talking about if it's meant to happen, it will, or the secret, just think about it and create projections, and you'll bring abundance to your life. And let me read a little bit about Alice Bailey here. From the start of World War II until her death in 1849, wrote that the war was necessary for the New Age to come. That's World War II. She believed that the New Age would be preceded by a destructive cycle wherein the old order passes away, and human civilization, with its accompanying institutions, is destroyed. She gives credit to the hierarchy of ascended spiritual masters. You know, in New Age, they always refer to ascended masters, for their decision early in this century, which precipitated that major destructive agency, the World War. That's from 1914 to 1945. I guess that's two World Wars. In April of 1943, Bailey said, one of the purposes lying behind the present Holocaust, World War II, has been the necessity for the destruction of inadequate forms. The law of destruction was permitted to work through humanity itself, and men are now destroying the forms through which many masses of men are functioning. Destroying forms does not mean shredding IRS paperwork. It is the theosophist code word for death. After the war, Bailey wrote that the custodians of God's plan viewed World War II as a major surgical operation that had been largely successful in removing a violent streptococcus germ that had menaced the life of humanity. She warned that this would only be the beginning of sorrows. The germ, to be sure, is not eradicated, but makes its presence felt in infected areas of the body of humanity. Another surgical operation may be necessary. Now, this is the woman who thought in the idea of ascended masters and New Age, that wars were necessary to destroy the, I mean, maybe she's talking about the Jews. You know, there were millions of people destroyed in those wars, in Russia, in Germany, and she's making it sound like this is part of God's plan, okay? Doesn't sound right to me. Just for additional information, there is a publishing house which prints and disseminates United Nations material. It's the publishing house was established in 1922 as Lucifer Trust by Alice Bailey as the publishing company to disseminate the books of Bailey and Blavatsky and the Theosophical Society. The title page of Alice Bailey's book, Initiation, Human and Solar, was originally printed in 1922. And clearly shows the publishing house as Lucifer Publishing, 1923. Bailey changed the name to Lucis Trust because Lucifer Trust revealed the true nature of the New Age movement too clearly. A quick trip to any New Age bookstore will reveal many of the hardcore New Age books are published by Lucis Trust. And Lucius Trust sponsors, among others, the following organizations: UN, Greenpeace International,
Greenpeace USA, Amnesty International, UNICEF. Isn't that a surprise? This is me saying, look at those organizations, I think, are ones that we would automatically think, that's a good organization. Greenpeace, Amnesty, UNICEF, UN. So what's really going on here? Okay? And who are these ascended masters? And what's become of the new age? Yesterday, on yesterday's call, I gave somebody's initial, but I'm not going to give them today, but I'm referring to the same person. And she's very famous. She goes to talks. She's like one of the spokespeople for New Age. Okay? And let's listen to some of the things that can be found in her books. Okay. Okay. According to this New Age philosophy that she espouses, there are too many people on the planet, and the bad seeds need to be eliminated. This is what she writes, and this is a quote here. Out of the full spectrum of human personality, one-fourth is electing to transcend. One-fourth is destructive, and they are the defective seeds. In the past, they were permitted to die a natural death. Now, as we approach the quantum shifts from the creature human to the co-creative human, the human who is inheritor of godlike powers, the destructive one-fourth must be eliminated from the social body. Fortunately, you are not responsible for this act. We are. We are in charge of God's process for planet Earth. He selects. We destroy. We are the riders of the pale horse, death. The goal of her newest book is that, quote, is that it serves the fulfillment of the plan. May light and love and power restore the plan on Earth. This is my prayer. She doesn't mention the source of the prayer. It is the final verse of the great invocation. A theosophical prayer provided by Lucius Trust with each of Alice Bailey's books. And now, you know, when you start studying the New World Order, what people are calling the New World Order, it sounds very similar. The idea of creating a one-world government, and that if you've read much about it, you would know that they say they want to reduce the population. They want to reduce the population hugely, like 80%, and that there's too many people on our planet. And if this is a true agenda, then it makes sense, some of the things that don't make sense. Like, why are we being blasted by chemtrails? Why are we eating food that's genetically modified, that's been proven to be bad for you? I mean, other countries, Russia won't allow it to be sold at all. There were studies done showing that animals would get sick when they ate it, okay? Why do we have fluoride added to our drinking water straight from somebody's waste stocks? And, you know, fluoride supposedly causes the pineal gland, which is your psychic center opening, to be calcified, okay? And so every single poison, now I'm reading this, that somebody else wrote,
Every single poison we are being inflicted with is part of a grand eugenic scheme aimed at killing off the bad seed and elevating the chosen ones to ascended status. And just what is ascension? For some, it's completely spiritual, and for others, it's transhumanism. In fact, for the transhumanist chosen ones who seek immortality, it is their job to bring about that immortality through the melding of man and machine, and finally, a holographic being, and the religions of the world following right along. The illusion is great. It is touted as peace and love and spirituality. What they don't tell you is that in order to gain the spirituality that they seek, most of us must die. According to them, we are the bad seeds, and it is apparent from reading through the mountains of propaganda put forth by these New Age organizations promoting peace and sustainability that a lot of people will be fooled by this benign and peaceful-sounding rhetoric. A world that works for all. How about a world that works for all of the chosen? After all, that is what is meant by all of this flowery and deceptive rhetoric. We only assume that they mean us too. It doesn't occur to most that the only all that is considered here is those they deem the good seed. Okay? Now, suppose this whole New Age program, which stems from Alice Bailey, and Madame Blavatsky, and supposedly, as I recall, Hitler was a follower of Blavatsky. And of course, Hitler was doing genetic cleansing. He was deciding that the inferior people should die, the people that were sick, the people that were, you know, whatever, the gypsies, the Jews, and whoever else, and to create a world of advanced genetic people, which he called the Aryans, okay? And supposedly, we defeated Hitler, supposedly. But if you study what really happened, huge amounts of German elite were imported to this country. I believe it was called Operation Paperclip. And they became in the background of a lot of control mechanisms. And we all remember Wernher von Braun, the scientist into space program. And he was part of that. Many others. You can look that up, Operation Paperclip. You can also find a lot of evidence that the world wars that were started were somewhat intentionally started. And that we knew the Japanese were going to attack Pearl Harbor. And we didn't do anything. Who knows? There might have been an inner agreement that everyone was playing their part. And we didn't want to do anything because we wanted that war. And
I might even interject something there. It was Thanksgiving before Pearl Harbor. And my aunt came and said that my uncle's brother had found out that Pearl Harbor was going to be attacked either on December 7th or I think it was April 20th of the next year, one of the two, but it was for sure. And he was with Roosevelt telling him, but that Roosevelt was poo-pooing it and saying, no, that's not true, and he wouldn't listen. And it was so my family and me we all had advance notice. So on December 7th, I was listening to the radio and they announced Pearl Harbor. And I got up and I told my dad, and he ran into the kitchen yelling, Anna Harris was right! So there was advance notice. They didn't even put him on alert, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. And then let's look at some events that happened, okay? You know, part of what triggered this is somebody said, you know, there's going to be this day of global unity, and we should be celebrating it. Now, when I see those kinds of things, now, I may be wrong on any of this. Maybe one of them is okay. But in general, whenever I see something that says a day of global unity, and it looks like it's really well funded, it usually is not positive. And we carry a certain energy here, but we carry the real energy, to my experience. And a lot of things that sound high-intended don't actually carry energy. And so here's another one. The UN International Day of Peace was started in 1981 as a day to announce and celebrate ceasefires in conflict areas around the world. It began as a movable day taking place on the opening day of each session of the UN General Assembly. The opening day of the new UN session was scheduled for September 11th. So the International Day of Peace actually coincided with the tragedy of 9/11. In 2004, the world launched 11 days of global unity, September 11th to 21st, symbolically marking the transformative global journey from fear to hope. Supporters of this launch included Archbishop Desmond Tutu, James Goodall, Deepak Chopra, Irene Khan, Marianne Williamson, John McConnell, Hazel Henderson, Barbara Mark Hubbard, I don't know all these other people's names, and New York Councilman Alan Gerson. And some of the people participating in the past forums, George Bush, Deepak Chopra, Stephen Covey, Walter Cronkite, Jane Goodall, Ted Turner, Margaret Thatcher, Marianne Williamson, and so in general, and you can go look this up, go look up UN New World Order, and you'll find that it is almost totally under the power of the New World Order agenda. Many, many things, as much as the beautiful sounding of it, United Nations, it's not. And Bill Gates philanthropically is supporting vaccines, supports Monsanto, GMOs, and whoever I mentioned, it's only the tip of the iceberg, okay? There was a great article that I had come across a couple of years ago. Let me see if I have it here, okay? If I do it. Here it is. Now, you know, one of the great, most popular, most credible things in New Age, and I know I'm going to get emails about this, so I'm not going to say there's nothing good about it, because there probably is. I'm just going to tell you the background of it, and then you can decide. It's called Course in Miracles, okay? And supposedly Jesus
coming through somebody and channeling, telling people how to keep themselves, how to follow Jesus' teachings better. And, you know, I remember picking it up years ago, and I remember it didn't grab me. I was open to it grabbing me. Everyone was talking about it, and it didn't grab me. And when I say grab me, it's like when I read the raw material, when I read the record material, when I read the Elohim material, I can feel an energy. Did you notice when I said that, how the energy just came in? Some of you are sensitive, noticed it. Whenever I talk about them, there's an energy. When you read their words, if you're sensitive, you can feel the energy behind the words. But I didn't feel that with the Course in Miracles. Now, I thought at the time, maybe I was missing something and just put it off. And then it came to my attention to study it a little bit. What happens if I do a search, Course in Miracles, CIA, Course in Miracles, New World Order? That's a good thing to do whenever you look at some of these things that you take for granted as being positive. It turns out that the woman who channeled that, let's see if I can find a quote here, her husband, let me see here. Her husband was named Bill Thetford. And his wife was his research assistant. Not initially, but she wasn't initially his wife. Started out as a research assistant at Columbia in 1958. Shortly after assuming his position at Columbia, he found that his new job was going to demand more than he imagined. As he was getting himself oriented and setting some priority, he was notified by the dean of the college that he'd received a large grant from the National Institute of Neurological Diseases for conducting a cooperative study of neurological and sensory deficits in infants and young children. And he was invited to participate in this study, and his wife became the psychologist. And 7 years later, she and her husband became involved with the scribing of the Course in Miracles. From then on, their work with the Course was kept a carefully guarded secret because it would have jeopardized their professional status. Well, somewhere here it comes up that that Schumann was forced to retire from Columbia at age 68, and Thetford took early retirement and moved to California. And let me just repeat that revelations about unethical and illegal activity sponsored by the CIA through MKUltra only began to surface as a result of the church committee investigation. The last date I see for a joint psychological publication by Thetford and Schuchman was the woman, Helen Schuchman, was in 1972. And Bill continued his role in the MKUltra-sponsored personality research project until he retired. The project was professionally sound, utilized PAS, and only have been of use to the CIA in the same indirect way that the research of Carl Rogers and many other legitimate psychologists would have been. And I mean, the indication was that, and I know this is true in general. In general, there have been huge projects by the negative to program our realm and to program the realm and the belief patterns and the trends with a certain direction in mind. And the direction was to break down the family unit, to break down individual strength, and to create a world that was open to being taken over in a one-world government. And that there were many, many things that I was shocked to uncover as I studied this. Keep in mind that I was a kind of a highly idealistic, optimistic guy who was living in Berkeley at the time of the free speech movement, at the time of hippies, at the time of the birth of the New Age movement, the political left-wing movement, and I wanted to change the world. And there were like groups of people always meeting with the idea of changing the world. And I said, yes, this is what I always wanted to happen. And where was the shock is to find out that all of this was majorly being manipulated by the elite, by the secret organizations, for their own purposes. For example, drugs, LSD, designed to get into the culture in order to break down the family unit and break down people's motivation. Huge indications of all this occurring in the 60s. People like Timothy Leary, people like Aldous Huxley, if you know who he was. Places like Esalen. It shocked me because all these things were, I looked up to them when I was young. The Beatles, indications that the goal was, look up the Beatles and New World Order, or Beatles Illuminati, leaders, you know. It's like lots of indications that, this was a carefully executed plan by very, very smart people. And the Beatles, they wanted to pick a charismatic, young, sexy, romantic group of men, make them become superstars, and then bring in drug lyrics, which is exactly what the Beatles did, and had a good portion of the world popping LSD as a result of it. And probably other groups at the time were the same. And then the groups in Laurel Canyon, some of you that come from the 60s, all the great groups like Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Mamas and Papas, when you look under the underbelly of it, it was all part of trend controlling. And I'm not going to go into all the details here, because we only have about 7 minutes, but it was a huge, huge project that when you look at it today, to give you an example of how intentional this has all been, let's take a look at Walt Disney. Go on YouTube and do a search on Walt Disney sex or Disney sex. And you will find that all of the old Disney cartoons It seems so beautiful and innocent and well-produced and loving. All had sexual imagery in the backgrounds, like castle spheres that looked like penises, like a preacher with a hard one, like, just go look it up. It's all over YouTube if you look at it. And do you remember the Kinsey Report and free sex, all designed to break down the family unit? And then if we look at Disney today, and if you just look at the idea of the intentionality of this, to take some of the most charismatic and charming young women who are growing up, like Miley Cyrus, like Britney Spears, like Christina Aguilar, and probably others, but those are really good examples, to make them stars and beautiful, youthful stars. And then they have a whole culture of young people growing up with them and then turning them into decadent pop stars. And I don't think we can argue about the decadence around those three people, as well as many others. And so what a brilliant plan to get the youth of America endeared with those young women, and then before their very eyes, turning them into decadent rock stars where sexuality is trivialized. And look at the success of it. If you wonder about their effectiveness and consider that that was deliberate, okay? And I am always scratching the surface. We live in a programmed reality. And I'm bringing this up because you and I have been part of that programmed reality. And if we are trying to break free and to find the highest aspect of ourselves, the creative aspect of ourselves, the part of ourselves that's part of God, and you're holding residuals of that programming, it is going to block you, and it's going to keep you, and in a compressed, contracted state. And so many of the things that you follow in New Age, they sound so good, and yet they don't have the Holy Spirit. And when I use the word Holy Spirit, I'm afraid I'm going to sound Christian. And, of course, part of me is Christian in my own way. But our work is I would say that on our calls, presence of the Holy Spirit is there. And we don't have to use that word. We can use source. We can use that overwhelming energy that comes in, that clears us. It doesn't tell us what we're supposed to do. It doesn't try to control us. It doesn't try to make us followers. But it lifts us in what I would call grace. It lifts us spontaneously and automatically. And it's like, that's what you should look for, that something is coming from the highest of highs. That experience, not the experience of like, that sounds good, that's what I always wished. I'd like to see a world of love. I'd like to see all mankind getting along with each other, okay? And now we have these people that are saying, let's eradicate the weak. Jesus didn't eradicate the weak. Jesus walked amongst the regular people and made himself available. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples and was humble. According to Terry Friedman, he told his disciples, don't tell them I'm the Messiah, okay? Because you can't be elevated above other people and be their inspirer. I'm not elevated. Terry's not elevated. We're regular people. And we found ourselves in this position, and we're doing it because it's working, and I can see it working. And that is the aspect of grace and divine love. And as soon as there is hierarchy, ascended masters, anything that says they know what's best for you, if you've watched our sources, and I've watched them, let me see, am I still on it? I have obviously watched them, as many of you have on all our calls. They never take our power away. They never tell us to follow them. They never tell us what to do. They always give us choices, because you are a co-creative. You are part of all that is. You are part of God. You are, God lives inside you. Part of God lives inside of you. And all of us together make up the body of God. And yes, there are more expansive parts of God and less expansive. And we can learn from more expansive parts of God. But if we take the Elohim as one of the highest aspects of God, or all that is, higher than us, more expansive than us, they never treat us like we're less than. They never ask us to prostrate ourselves. When I asked them early on, do you really like to be worshipped? They said, no, we are like your big brothers. The Ra group is similar, and they are there for us, and that we can use that power by creating the high intentions that cause things to shift. And I could go on and on with this, but it's 3 minutes away from closing the call, and I didn't even begin to touch on all these things. But the one thing I'll mention is why all of this? It comes from negative ETs. That's what's above the New World Order. That's what's Illuminati. And it's by high-level ETs that want to control this realm, and that's how they're doing it. That's a whole other story. So I'm going to unmute everybody. Thanks for being here. I hope nobody quits.
All callers are unmuted.
Thanks, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn.
Good job.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you, Wynn. Thanks, Wynn.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thanks, Wynn. Thanks,
Wynn. Very love to you and Terry. Blessings to us all.
A plus for teaching.
Research.